you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Oh, that's right. I'm so glad that you're here. Happy Thursday, this May the 29th, 2013. Whoa, 2014. What was I just thinking there? 2014, 2013. Where did that come from? I have no idea, friend. How you doing? Boy, if that's a sign of how things are going to be for the next 30 minutes, this is going to be really interesting, friend. How you doing? Joey Kroll with you. Hey, you know what? You know, I know exactly what it is. It's having Monday off. You know, the whole Memorial Day thing, the whole three-day weekend thing threw me off. I thought today was Wednesday, and now I'm like not only a day off, I'm a whole year off. But anyways, hey, so good to be spending some time with you today. And I don't know about you, but I'm loving the summertime. It's fantastic. Over this past three-day weekend for Memorial Day, we did a lot of work around the home and so forth. We installed new shutters and mowed the lawn front and back. And so I finally had a chance to sit down. I think it was on Monday. And then my wife said, "Sweetheart, could you do such and such?" And I looked at her and said, you know, I told her, I'm going to do this thing, even though I just sat down, because not because I want to, but because I love you. So I made that extremely clear. So, but we did a lot of stuff around the house. We painted the shutters, installed new shutters around the home, and did a lot of yard work as well. So I love this time of the year. It's beautiful. It's an opportunity to be outside and enjoy the outdoors. And our kids are going to be out of school tomorrow. Oh, yes, tomorrow's their last day. I think they got like a half day or something or another. I'm not sure what time they'll get out. I think I need to know that because I'm picking them up tomorrow. So, but yeah, the kids are going to be out of school. I know a lot of schools are out already, but I know still some are still in session because of the whole winter weather we had this past winter. But regardless, I pray for you and your family that your kids, your grandkids, you encourage them to keep their eyes on Jesus this summer. Take part of some wonderful vacation Bible schools happening in our area. And by the way, you can take a look at the entire list of events for this summer and also VBS's Vacation Bible Schools at our website at the Great News Radio event calendar, greatnewsradio.org, and click on events. And while you're there, check out the Israel trip page. Of course, we're getting ready for another trip to Israel, the Great News Radio Israel trip, fall 2014, November 6th through the 15th. A great opportunity to walk where Jesus walked and just look at the sights and sounds and smell the air and be part of what you and I read each and every day. It's so neat. So if you have a chance to do that, check out the Israel trip part of our website, greatnewsradio.org. But if you want an information packet, give us a call, 217-367-7777. Love to have you be part of that. Also, this weekend, you're invited to the Homer Soda Festival this Saturday from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. And, of course, Mark Burns interviewed the director and owner of the Homer Soda Company, Kate, yesterday. So you can listen to that interview if you missed it through the audio archive portion of our website as well. So be sure to check that out. So, yeah, lots of great stuff happening here in the next couple of weeks, months, and later on this year, the year 2014, just for the record. Well, coming up here in just a little bit, have you ever been at a place where you lost something? Maybe your keys or your remote control, or you ever get to a parking lot, come out of the store and forget where you parked? So you're finding your car. Well, we're going to be talking about something a little bit more important in search in terms of finding things. Today, we're going to be talking about finding hope, because when we find Jesus, when we seek Jesus, when we pursue him, we find hope, true hope. It's going to be a great encouraging study coming up right after this on the Thursday edition of Mark and Friends right here on Great News Radio. You know, we live in a culture that floods us with remedies. You know, we try to mask our issues in life with pharmaceutical remedies, religious practices, a change in lifestyle, or a calendar full of events. We try to mask our need, but guess what, friend? We can't remove it. You know, the Bible points us to the only solution, and that's Jesus Christ. He meets us at our point of need and offers us what no one or nothing else can. When we seek Christ, we find hope. We find true hope, friend. Has there ever been a time in your life when you lost something important to you? Maybe your keys? Maybe that remote control. Lord have mercy, if we lose that remote control, we will get up and we will search for hours. That's right. Your stomach drops, your heart races, you realize you've lost that important something, whether it's a credit card, a wallet, a phone, maybe that remote control. We've all experienced that feeling. It's one of the worst feelings in the world. Then the search comes. You look in all the usual places, the car, the room, couch cushions, everywhere. You retrace your steps. You consider calling a search party. I mean, it's that serious. And then comes that rush of relief. You realized, oh, I left it there, or you find it, and all the fears and worst case scenarios just melt away, and your heart resumes to a normal heart rate again. I'll tell you what, friend, look long enough and most personal items can be found. But what about something abstract like hope? Can anyone truly find hope? You know, in Matthew chapter 8, we see Jesus interacting with a leper and a Roman centurion. And most importantly, they find the answer to what they're looking for. If you have your Bible, I hope you can follow along with me. Matthew chapter 8, verses 1 through 13. When Jesus came down from the mountainside, large crowds followed him. A man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." And Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." And immediately he was cleansed of his leprosy. Then Jesus said to him, "See that you don't tell anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the gift Moses commanded as a testimony to them." And when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him asking for help. "Lord," he said, "my servant lies at home paralyzed, suffering terribly." And Jesus said to him, "Shall I come and heal him?" And the centurion replied, "Lord, I do not deserve to have you under my roof, but just say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he was amazed and said to those following him, "Truly I tell you, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith." And we later read that the servant was healed. You know, in Matthew's account of Jesus' life, we see Jesus interact with people in surprising ways. The first encounter in chapter 8 is a man with a serious skin disease known as leprosy. And as you know, leprosy is a pretty big deal. Most scholars believe when one had leprosy back then in the Bible times, it was God's judgment upon them. It's a skin disease that turns your skin as white as snow. And leprosy, too, was contagious. It was contagious. Because of its contagious nature, people with leprosy were banished from their homes and cast beyond the protection of the city walls. Lepers lived an isolated life. They really did. And they were, according to Leviticus 13:45, they were to yell out, "unclean, unclean," whenever somebody came near them. And lepers certainly were not allowed to approach anyone, especially not rabbis. So he knelt before Jesus to make the boldest request a man in his situation could make. He said, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." You know, I imagine there was probably a pause after that, because all the people must have stopped dead in their tracks. They panicked to see what Jesus was to do, because remember, this man was supposed to be isolated from the healthy people. Maybe everybody ran away when they saw this leper, but when the man looked up, there was Jesus standing there, with compassion in his eyes and an outstretched hand. This rabbi did the unthinkable. He touched the untouchable, and he said, "I am willing, be made clean." You know, if you ever tried to contest a phone bill, Right? I mean, ask for a refund, credit, discount. You may hear something like, I'm sorry, sir, I'm not allowed to do that. Or trying to ask the person taking your tickets at the ballgame to stop the rain. Or ask the drivers next to you on the highway to make the traffic go away. Yeah, good luck with that, right? There are just some things in life that you and I have no power or authority over. I mean, the reality is there are some things that only God himself can do. Did you hear that today? Any control freaks out there? Anybody like me who likes to be in control of things? The reality is, I'll say this again, the reality is that there are some things only God himself can do. There are only some things that only God can forgive, some grace only God can extend, some acceptance only God can provide, and only some problems only God can fix. Yet oftentimes we try to do it ourselves, don't we? We try to do it ourselves, and as my father-in-law says, how's that working out for you? So Jesus encountered another man in Matthew chapter 8. This man was quite different from the leper because he was a centurion. Now, a centurion was someone who was in the Roman military. He was like a commander or maybe like a chief or captain or somebody with that type of authoritative figure. And a centurion normally had about 100 people under him, under his command. So this centurion knew how to be in charge. He knew how to lead others. He knew how to get things done. But when his servant became sick, the centurion could do nothing about it. Nothing about it. You know, we recently had a young lady in our church who lost her husband. They've been married maybe about 40 years, maybe. And she lost her husband, and she's still struggling with it because it's not even 6 months since he passed. And I try to put myself in her shoes a little bit. I think the hardest thing for me if I lost my spouse was not having any control over it. There was nothing that I can do to bring that person back, and it would drive me crazy. It really would. And honestly, we don't know what the centurion tried to do on his own. Whatever the details, coming to Jesus would have been a hard step because this centurion may have been considered an unclean Gentile. Plus, the Jews were under oppression by the Romans and maybe even told some of his own people to persecute, to oppress God's chosen people, the Jewish nation. But despite that, the centurion swallowed any pride and acknowledged his unworthiness in the eyes of the great teacher. He submissively called Jesus Lord. The unspoken question underneath the centurion's request for healing reflected maybe the words of the leper. Would Jesus be willing? Would he be willing? Here I am leading an army against his own people, oppressing them. Would he be willing? Jesus knew what everything I've done in my past. Would he be willing? Come on, have you ever been there, friend? In fact, Jesus praised the centurion's faith. Jesus pronounced the servant would be cured. The servant was cured at that very moment. You can read about it in Matthew chapter 8. When the centurion got home, he found his servant healthy, healed, and whole. Jesus praised the centurion for his faith. He showed faith through his willingness to trust Jesus. He trusts that Jesus could heal his servant right there on the spot without ever venturing into the servant's presence. All Jesus had to do was just speak a word. Jesus doesn't simply want us to trust in him or to find our hope in him for certain things. He wants us to hope in him for all things. He wants us to trust in him for everything. Jesus, help me, is one of the most honorable things we could ever say in our life. The person who has what he thinks he needs doesn't ask for hope. The person who has what he thinks he needs doesn't ask for help. The spiritually destitute person has nothing to offer, and that is exactly what God requires of us. Trusting Jesus is allowing him to do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. In fact, let me take that a step further. Trusting Jesus is allowing him to do what we can do for ourselves. Sometimes we can say, oh, this is a strength of mine, so I got this, Jesus. I don't need your help in this. Sort of like Peter and the disciples. They were fishing. They were fishing all day, all night, hadn't caught anything, but Jesus said, cast your net to the other side. And Peter said, well, we've been fishing here all night. In other words, Jesus, you stick to church and I'll stick to my fishing. So trusting Jesus is allowing him to do for us what we can and cannot do for ourselves. When we learn to lean on him, we open the door to let hope in. We are not exempt from trouble. You do know that, right? We are not exempt from hurt and brokenness, but we can have a confidence that Jesus has overcome the world and our past. There is hope in surrendering to him. Can we ever find true hope? Absolutely. Not only can we find it, but we can experience it each and every day. So call off the search party. We found our true hope, and that's in Jesus Christ, the Son of the Living God. The Maranatha Singers right here on this Thursday, and we will glorify. Well, friend, I do appreciate spending some time with you today, as I do each and every Thursday. If you want more information about this radio ministry, just visit our website, greatnewsradio.org. There you'll find our entire list of programs and all the special features we play, information on how to contact us, information how to support this listener-supported ministry as well. Again, greatnewsradio.org. Well, coming up tomorrow, it's going to be the Friday edition of Mark and Friends. Mark and Jason in the studio talking about the book of Acts, and you know them, they always get on their tangents, so they may get to the study. Who knows? That's coming up tomorrow right here on the Friday edition of Mark and Friends. Until next time, friend, remember that you are salt and you are light, and you are the hands and feet of Jesus.